If you have your Bibles, I want you to take you to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. And I don't know, it just seems this morning, it seems like there's kind of a theme in many of the songs. Obviously, they're all about Jesus, and we praise the Lord for that. But it seemed like in the choir song and the young people singing there, and all it's kind of talking about the coming of the Lord, coming of the Lord. And the hope and the joy that we have in looking forward to Jesus coming again. And we praise the Lord for that. And that hope that we have only in Christ. And so that's exciting. Luke chapter number 1. How many of you like a good mystery? How many of you like mysteries? Like mysteries? I love mysteries. And I remember when I was a kid reading mysteries as a kid and then as a teenager and there's something about a mystery, just kind of, as you start reading, you find out, you know, it's a whodunit or what happened or whatever, you just kind of get sucked in, you know, you're like, I got to find out, you know, what it is. And it's hard to put the book down, you know, you kind of get involved in it. And it's like, man, I got to know what's happening. And I'm telling you, I love mysteries. I'm not sure you know this, but Hallmark movies are not mysteries. Not mysteries at all. You know, a city girl's going back home to her hometown. She's going to get coffee somewhere or hot chocolate. She's going to bump into a charming, handsome man who's had a difficult year. Some way or another, they're going to fall in love and Christmas is never going to be the same, you know. That wraps up every single Hallmark movie around Christmas time. there's no mystery to it. It's like, as soon as you like, the first 2 minutes, you're like, I know what's going to happen. I know who it is. I know what's going to happen. I know how it's going to, I mean, you know, right? That's not the way a mystery is supposed to be, you know? I mean, you know, mysteries are supposed to be like, you're not sure what's going on, you know? Mysteries are supposed to be, you know, intense. I don't think I've ever watched an intense Hallmark movie. It's just Hallmark and intense just don't go together, right? So what does that have to do with anything this morning? I want to talk about mysteries this morning. But the mysteries of Christmas. Mysteries of Christmas. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, you don't have to turn over there, but I just want to read it for you this morning. As Isaiah is talking to King Ahaz, and God tells King Ahaz as he's concerned about this enemy that has come, and there's concern about what's going to happen. Are they going to get the victory? Are they not going to get the victory? And how the enemy has even united with the northern tribes of Israel, and now their own people are fighting against them. And King Ahaz is concerned. And God tells Isaiah, he says, I want you to go to King Ahaz, and I want you to tell him, hey, don't be worried. Don't fret about this. I've got this in hand. I'm going to take care of this. It's under control. And King Ahaz is still a little bit worried, and God says, well, just to prove it to you, he says, ask for a sign. Ask for a sign. Ask me anything. Ask for a sign. And I think King Ahaz may have been a little bit of a wise man when he said this, but he said, I'm not going to ask a sign from God. I mean, who am I to ask a sign from God? And God says, well, let me give you a sign. I'm going to give you a sign. And here's the sign that God gives to King Ahaz. He said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to look to you. Lord, what a great time of year that we're in as we think about the Christmas time. The Christmas season. Lord, I know the world has kind of hijacked it. But Lord, I pray for us as Christians this morning that we would come back to the real purpose and meaning of Christmas. The reason why you were willing to let your son come to this earth, not only to be born, but to die. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work in our hearts this morning. Lord, just draw us to yourself and help us during these next few weeks to use the opportunities. These are opportunities that you've given to us, Lord. Everybody's thinking about, Lord, what an opportunity we have to share Jesus with others around us. Lord, help us with this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a mystery that God gives to King Ahaz. It says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin giving birth? How is that possible? That is impossible. And for God to give this to King Ahaz, he's saying, look, I'm just going to prove to you that I am in control. I'm going to prove to you, you don't have to worry and fear about the enemies. I'm just proving to you that who I am is God, that I am able to do anything. He says, I can do something that you would even think is impossible. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. When we come to Luke chapter 1, in verse number 26, the Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What a great passage of scripture. Of course, we no doubt probably read this passage, at least I would think once a year, maybe especially around Christmas time, we would read the passage of the birth of Jesus Christ, or maybe if you're following a Bible reading plan or something like that, you may read this. But can you imagine 700 years? 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesies and God gives us a mystery that would take place. Can you imagine probably what Isaiah is saying? Lord, do you really want me to say this? Lord, do you really want me to tell Ahaz this? You really want me to say that a virgin is going to have a child? Lord, that's not possible. Lord, you really want me to say these words? You really want this to be the sign that a virgin is going to conceive and bear a son? And you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which the word Emmanuel means God with us? I think maybe Isaiah may have been a little bit perplexed about what God was saying, and no doubt Ahaz is thinking, that's the sign? Yet God says, I'm gonna give you a mystery here. By the way, unfortunately, many of these modern versions will change the word virgin to young woman. And I tell you, that's not a mystery for a young woman to have a child. It's not a mystery. And I say that happens all the time. But a mystery is for a virgin to have a child. How's that possible? How's that even going to take place? And this is what God tells us here in Luke chapter 1 as the angel Gabriel comes to this virgin, and her name was Mary. And yes, she was espoused to Joseph. They were going to be wed, but yet she's a virgin, and God comes to her through this angel Gabriel and says, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Can you imagine what Mary must have been thinking? When Gabriel says, you're going to have a child. And she says, how can I have a child? I have not known a man. How am I going to be able to have a child? And God says, I got that taken care of. I've got it taken care of. Because the child that is going to be in you is going to be the Son of the Highest. The child that is going to be in you is going to be Emmanuel. He is going to be Jesus to save his people from his sin. There's a mystery in a virgin giving birth. May I say, not only is there a mystery in the virgin giving birth, but there is a mystery in God becoming a man. God would become a man? Look over with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and notice what Paul tells us here. 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 16, he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Think about what Paul is saying. He says, man, let me tell you about a mystery. Not only do we have a mystery of a virgin who's going to be able to have a child and have a baby, but he says, here's a mystery, God becoming a man. God taking on human form. God manifest in the flesh. Think about what he says. God was manifest in the flesh. In theological terminologies, they call this the hypostatic union. God becoming man. God incarnate, robed in flesh. Jesus being fully God and fully man. And yet the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse number 3, of course we know in verse number 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But in verse number 3, he tells us that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Think about this, what God is telling us here in the book of John, that he's telling us that Jesus Christ, who is the Word, we know that because later on in verse number 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." He's talking about Jesus Christ, the Word. He says, yet the Word, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God, and the Word, Jesus Christ, was God. And yet it says, all things were made by him. Friend, do you understand that Jesus Christ is the Creator God? He is the one that spoke and all things came into existence. He is the one that on day one said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's the Creator. In fact, in verse number 10 of John chapter 1, he says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Look, I'm going to tell you something. There are some things, there are some mysteries that even though we have it explained for us, there are some things that I still find, I just don't know that I can fully wrap my mind around them. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Creator God, who is willing to come in human flesh. He was willing to come in human form to be born. And this is what we celebrate around Christmas time, is the birth of Jesus Christ. Friend, don't ever forget, Jesus Christ did not begin in Bethlehem. That's not where he began. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He is God. And what John is telling us here is he was in the beginning. He was there. He created all things, and yet he was God, and yet he was willing to come to this earth and become part of creation. The Creator was willing to come and become part of creation, coming into the world as a man. God had every right to leave us in our sinful condition. God had every right even to destroy us because of our sin against him. And yet God wanted to provide a way for man to come back to him. There's a problem. Man couldn't do it. Man has tried in all of the religion and all of the rituals and everything that man has come up with, man has tried to find a way to get back to God. From the very beginning, man has tried to find a way. In the garden, Adam and Eve, they tried to do it their own way, thinking what they had done would impress God and please God. God says, sorry, it doesn't work. And all throughout time, man has tried to come up with some way to please God, some way to impress God, some way to bring that relationship back with God. And man has failed because man cannot do it. Because we are sinners. We are sinful man. Look, I wish I could say that when if I prayed for someone that person could be saved. I wish with all of my heart that I could just pray for someone and that person could get saved. Doesn't happen that way. I wish that I could say, hey, if you get baptized, you know, just by getting baptized, you're going to have all your sins washed away and you're going to be saved. Doesn't happen that way. I wish I could say, boy, if you join our church, then all of your sins will be washed away and you'll be saved. Doesn't happen that way. See, God had to become man. Because man couldn't do it. By the way, the angels couldn't do it. The angels couldn't save us. You know, notice God is using the angels to send his message, but the angels could not save us from our sin. So God chose to become a man. God chose to become man. It's amazing that God was big enough to become small and yet strong enough to become a baby. He was willing to come in that human form, that he was willing to be that baby, to be in Mary's womb and to be born and to be part of Joseph and Mary's life and to have Joseph and Mary raise him as a son and to live a perfect, sinless, spotless life. Friend, do you understand? We're talking about God himself, the creator of the universe, was willing to become man. Wrap your mind around that one. When he could have just simply left us to our own fate. He could have just left us to be destroyed, left us to be without him. Yet his desire and his love for us was so great that he was willing to become part of creation. God becoming man. He left the wonders and the glory of heaven to live on this earth. We can't wait to get out of this place and get to heaven. He left heaven to come to this place. He left the splendor and the glory and the praise. He left it all to come to this earth. To this sinful, lost world. I know the end of the story. Sometimes I still don't understand why he did it. Why? Why would he care so much about you and me? Friend, why does he care so much about you that he would be willing to come to this earth? To leave the splendor and glory of heaven, to come to poverty, to come to disdain, to come to mockery and ridicule. Friend, do you understand? That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. I guarantee you, not one of us would have done it. Not one of us would be willing to do that. And yet God himself was willing to become a man. He chose to live a life of obscurity and poverty and suffering. Surely if he is the king, if he is the king creator of the universe, he would come with trumpets sounding from the highest, the angels simply proclaiming his birth throughout the whole world, heralded on every street corner and accompanied with pomp and circumstance and ceremony as in any earthly king would have been. But instead, he chose to come lowly. He chose to be born in a manger. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. God, the creator God, made himself of no reputation. That's, friends, that's what he did for us. Friend, do you understand? That's what this whole Christmas season is all about. He was willing to empty himself. He, no reputation. I'm not willing to, I'm going to identify with man. I'm not going to come as God and proclaim my announcement to the world and say, hey, look at me. You come and bow down before me. No, he was born in a lowly stable. In fact, the ones who did come were the shepherds, the lowliest of men, because of his love for us. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You want to talk about a mystery? God becoming a man. Friend, I don't think we can ever fully grasp what God has done for us. I don't think we can ever fully grasp what God did when he chose to leave heaven and come to this earth. In fact, the Bible even tells us the angels are standing around wondering, what is going on? What's happening? Why would God, the Creator, identify as a man? The mystery of it. Another one, that Christ would be born to die. He was born in that manger, but again, we have to think beyond the manger. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Look, if we're going to fully understand the Christmas account, if we're really going to understand what Christmas is all about, we have to look beyond the manger to a cross. Jesus' greatest work was not to heal the sick. Jesus' greatest work was not to raise the dead. It was not to cleanse the leper. It was not to feed 5,000 people. It was not to heal those who needed healing. His greatest work was to die. To die upon a cross, bearing the sin and the shame of you and me. I don't get it. God himself would be born so that he could die for me. To die for you. To die for the sins of the world. Friend, do you understand what God has done for us? It was necessary, he says, it was his responsibility that he were to die. In fact, Isaiah 53 and verse number 5 shows us. It says, again, this prophecy from Isaiah, he said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Notice it was our transgressions. It was our iniquities that was placed upon him. Our sinfulness, our wickedness. I love Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, he says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The Bible tells us that through his death, he destroys the power that the devil has over us, the power of death, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you understand? He says, if it was up to us, we would still be in bondage today. We would still be in bondage to sin. We would still be lost and on our way to a devil's hell. but he was willing to identify with man. He took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I don't know that there's anybody here this morning. I hope this isn't your first time to hear this. Maybe it is, and I'm so glad you're here. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've heard it all your life. Friend, can I tell you that we should never get over what Jesus Christ did? We should never get over that he was willing to become man, not for his own benefit. It wasn't for his benefit. He became man. He came to this earth. He was born to die for our sins upon a cross, to take our punishment, to take our sin and our suffering, to take our iniquities, our chastisements upon himself, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Oh, friend, can I tell you, all throughout Scripture, Jesus points back to this that he did on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, why he was willing to suffer, why he was willing to be buried, why he rose again, so that you and I could have life, so that we could have a relationship with him. Look, Christmas time is a great time to get together with family, and you get time off from work, and you get to spend time with family, and maybe you get to eat some food, and you get to give gifts and presents and things like this. But man, I'm telling you, so many times as Christians, we totally forget, and we get so wrapped up in the things that the world has tried to say that Christmas is all about, that we forget that it's about Jesus Christ, God himself, who came to this earth to die for us. We just, it's just like another holiday. No, friend, it's not just another holiday. It's the day that God became man. Never ceasing to be God, 100% God, 100% man. You say, I don't understand how that's possible. Yeah, it's a mystery, isn't it? God was willing to become man, 100% God and 100% man. As God, he was able, as he would speak to the crowds, he was able to say, hey, why are you thinking that, James? Why are you thinking that about me right now? Whoa, who could know James's thoughts but God? By the way, I don't know what he's thinking. Better be something nice. He was able to know their thoughts. He was able to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, the Pharisees say, hey, wait a second. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You're right. You're right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And he says, thy sins be forgiven thee. And yet that very same man that would look upon someone and say, thy sins be forgiven thee, had to sleep, got tired, was wearied in that physical body that he had to sleep as a man, had to eat, had to be nourished physically as a man, had to walk those dusty roads of Israel as a man, yet at the same time could say, hey, guys, it's time to go. We need to go to Bethany. Why? Lazarus is asleep. Well, if he's asleep, that's great, Lord. No, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. Lord, how do you know Lazarus is dead? Because he's God. He's God. That same one who was willing to die on the cross for your sin and for my sin, that you and I could be made right with God again, so that we could have that relationship with him. That God would become a man, that Jesus would leave heaven so that we could go to heaven. Jesus was willing to leave the splendor and glory of heaven so that we could one day be with him in heaven. Jesus says in John chapter 6 and verse number 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Understand, friend, that he left heaven to come to give life. You say, "Well, I'm already alive." Physically, you may be. But friend, if you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ spiritually, you're dead. Spiritually, you're separated from God. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Doesn't matter how long you've gone to church. Doesn't matter if you've been baptized. Doesn't matter if you've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. Doesn't matter if you've tried to be a member of a church. No, friend, none of those things. Jesus Christ is the only one who can give life. You see, if there was some other way that you and I could have life, if we could get life through a baptism or life through a church or life through being good or whatever, can I tell you something? There would be no Christmas. It wouldn't be a Christmas because Jesus would never have come. He came because we cannot save ourselves. He came because Jesus Christ is the only one who can save us from our sin. Though he died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I love the words of Charles Wesley's hymn. Not going to read the whole thing, but just think about what he says, because I think it captures this wondrous thought when he says, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued?" Can it be? Can it truly be that Jesus Christ would love me enough that he would leave heaven, that God, the Creator, would leave heaven and come to this earth and be born in that manger and live a life on this earth of mockery and ridicule and people laughing at him and people mocking him? And could it really be that he who died on the cross and was buried and rose again 3 days later, could it really be that he's the one that could give me life? Could that really be? It really is. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what he was willing to do so that we could be saved, so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could have a home with him for eternity. And yet, I wonder how many times Christmas comes around and we never share that with anyone else. We never share what Jesus Christ has done for us. We never share what Jesus Christ has done for them. Because I guarantee you, every one of us here knows someone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every one of us has family. Every one of us has friends. Every one of us has coworkers. Someone that does not know Jesus Christ. And we come into the Christmas season, oh, there's going to be the office Christmas party, and there's going to be this family Christmas party, and we're going to buy this gift for that person and this gift for that person and with this party here, and we do all these different things, and never once do we ever even mention the whole reason of Christmas. Jesus Christ. God himself was willing to come to this earth and be born and to die, to be buried and to rise again 3 days later so that we could have life. Look, we've got a couple weeks before Christmas, before that day. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to let it come right along and don't even think anything about it? Or are we going to stop and think, wait a minute, why would Jesus do this? Why would God love me so much that he'd be willing to die on a cross for my sins? And if God loved me so much to do that, and he loved every other person enough to do that, shouldn't I tell someone else about him? Shouldn't I take this opportunity when everybody's talking about Christmas? You can't go anywhere without seeing something about Christmas. What an opportunity that we have. What an opportunity. You say, well, they won't listen. You don't know. You don't know until you try. You may not have listened the first time, but aren't you glad somebody kept telling you and that you believed, you accepted Christ? You're just going to let it go? Oh, it's just another holiday. Just another holiday. Just another time we get together with family and have food and give presents and things like this. We're going to allow the world to completely change the whole purpose and meaning of this special day. There's so many things that God does that we sit back and we're like, I don't understand it. I don't know why he would do it. It's a mystery. But I'm so thankful that he did. I'm so thankful that he was willing to become man. I'm so thankful that he was willing to be born in a stable, to live a perfect, sinless life on this earth. I'm so thankful that he was willing to die for my sins. Shouldn't someone else know what Christmas is all about? Don't let it be a mystery to them. Tell them what it's about. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Lord, so many times as Christians, we just let Christmas come and let it go. We never really stop, truly think about what you have done. Lord, your plan would never have been our plan. We would have left mankind in its fallen state. We would have left man to the fate that they brought upon themselves. God, you loved us so much that even though we had rejected you, you who created the world, created the universe, was willing to come to this earth to be born, to live, to die for my sin, for the sin of every person in this building, for the sin of every person that's ever been born. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians, Lord, not just to think about the family time and the time off of work and the presents, and all those things are great. Lord, help us to truly remember what Christmas is about, what you have done for us. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about, maybe there's someone here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. You know, I thought I'd gone to church and I thought I'd been baptized and I thought maybe those things would help me to go to heaven, but I'm not really sure if I am saved. If that's you this morning, again, nobody else is looking about. It's just, this is just between you, me, and God. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I would go to heaven. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Anyone this morning, just slip it up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the most important thing you can do is to understand what Jesus has done for you, that he loves you, and he wants you to know him. Friend, we'd love to take the word of God and show you how you could be saved. Christian, if you're here this morning, you say, yes, Pastor, I know I'm saved. And what an opportunity we have these next few weeks. What an opportunity when everyone is talking about Christmas. What an opportunity to be able to sit and to say, hey, do you know what Christmas really is about? You know why I love Christmas so much? I love the presents and I love the lights, but oh, I love it more because of what Jesus did for me. Take the opportunities that we have to share Jesus with those who do not know him. What are you going to do with him this Christmas? Will you share him? Will you make an effort to try to speak to someone about Jesus Christ? Maybe a family member, a friend, a coworker? Or we just let Christmas go by and never tell anybody what the real purpose and meaning of Christmas is about. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. Christian, can I challenge you this morning? Take some opportunity these next few weeks and to tell someone about Jesus. Tell someone about him. Don't just let it go by. Maybe there's a coworker that you know does not know Jesus. Why don't you pray and say, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to share Jesus with him or her? Maybe you know there's a family member that you're going to get together with sometime these next few weeks. You know they're lost. You know they don't know Jesus. Why don't you begin praying? Would you give me an opportunity to share Jesus with them? Could be a neighbor. Someone in your life and in your circle that needs to know Jesus. Is it just going to be another holiday? We give some presents, eat some food, laugh together with family and friends. What a mystery. Jesus would be virgin born. Jesus, the Creator God, become a man. Born to die so that we could live. Who will you share Jesus with during this Christmas time? Friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would love to take the Word of God, show you how you can have a personal relationship with him. After the service, I'll be in the lobby and you can come by and say, Pastor, I'd like to talk with you about that. I'd love to make an appointment with you. Most important decision you can ever make in your life. Friend, will we share Jesus with someone this Christmas while we have this amazing opportunity? Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, just to take this amazing opportunity that you've given to us when everybody all around us, Lord, is thinking about Christmas, talking about Christmas, planning for Christmas, or that we have a great opportunity to talk about the real meaning of Christmas. Lord, it's a mystery to us why you would do this other than just your love for us. Lord, we're so thankful that you are willing to come to this earth to die on a cross and be buried and rise again for our sins. You'd give us life. Lord, help us to share that with others during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.